The Homeland Security Department's Science and Technology Directorate is looking for a few innovative ideas. Science and Technology is holding a series of what they call conversations across the country to bring those concepts to the forefront. Doug Maughan is the Cybersecurity Division Director for S&T Directorate. He joins me now to discuss why the conversation around cyber is more important than ever. Doug, good morning. Great to have you on.
Good morning, Tom. Thank you.
All right. So tell us, what is a national conversation? What do they look like? What are they formatted? Tell us how they work.
Sure. We're trying to address our visionary goal. One of them is a trusted cyber future. And so we've been doing a number of these around the country. We've done 7 so far. And they're small engagements, 40 to 50 people, trying to get ideas and information about what not only DHS's research and development direction should be, but also across the federal government in response to a requirement to produce a new federal R&D strategic plan for cybersecurity.
And so these are in-person types of discussions held in locales throughout the country?
Yes, we're holding them in conjunction with conferences as much as possible, but they're including industry folks, universities, academic startups, et cetera, large companies, PayPal, Boeing, and others, really just trying to get a feel of the cybersecurity future from as many people as we can.
And so I imagine maybe Black Hat was a place where you might have held a discussion, that type of venue?
We did have a conversation at Black Hat as part of a CISO summit that I participated in there as well.
All right. So what types of things do people talk about? What have you heard so far?
Well, I think, you know, probably one of the most prominent topics has been the issue of software assurance. You know, everything is relying on software, and all of the compromises and the hacks, they all seem to be based on the fact that there's been a software vulnerability. You know, this has been a big part of the discussion. People have talked about new ways to re-engineer software, that we need new capabilities to test software, and just how important, you know, in the end, everything runs on software. And so I think that's been probably the one technical topic. I think the non-technical topic has been in the area of education and training. It's all about making technologies more usable. A lot of the cybersecurity technologies are, you know, hard for the everyday user to figure out, and we need to make it more easy for people to be able to secure their systems.
I guess we should back up for a moment and maybe have you describe some of the research and the directives going on within the Science and Technology Cyber Unit that you head, because I know you've been at this a long time.
We have. We have a lot of activities, everything from research infrastructure to support the community, such as a cybersecurity test bed and a data repository, to more hands-on types of things, technologies for our law enforcement community, new technologies for mobile security. We're also looking at just initiated some work in data privacy. That's certainly an up-and-coming topic, as well as trying to transition and commercialize some of our technologies, as well as technologies coming from other federal agencies.
And when you think about software assurance, it seems like there are basically two types of vulnerabilities. There's some that are maybe built in by programmers directly or on purpose so that they can be exploited once the software is installed. And maybe those backdoors are put in China or Russia or right here in the United States. And then the other type of lack of assurance, I guess, is when someone simply discovers a weakness because of a programming error or something someone overlooked and they exploit it. And so is that pretty much the way this breaks down, or are you learning new ways of thinking about software assurance?
Well, I think, you know, there's what is called static analysis, which is just looking at the code. There's also dynamic analysis where you're actually testing the software, you know, in operational environments. And so, you know, we're really looking at how do we build new tools. You know, in today's world, the software developers are rushing their new capabilities to market without considering the security aspects. They're trying to get, you know, the latest widget into the market to try to beat their competitors, and there's just not a lot of testing and vulnerability discovery going on before the product goes to market, and so hence you have the attacks and the vulnerability discovery after in the market, and that's why we these news stories continue to break, is because people really aren't looking at the security up front.
And it seems like the mobile threat really hasn't come into its own yet. We know there are mobile attacks and mobile threats out there, but with, 77 quadrillion apps on this or that marketplace, it seems like that's something that the potential for harm really hasn't been realized yet. So maybe we've got a bigger problem ahead than we can see right now.
I think we just have the tip of the iceberg. It's not just the mobile problem. It is, everything associated with the Internet of Things. Take anything and put the word smart in front of it, smart car, smart home, smart grid, all of these things being connected to the network. Again, same problem. Many of these devices going to the market without considering security and the software that's running them. And so I think we're just at the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah, it's going to make us all wish for crank windows again sometime when we buy a new car.
Or paper and pencil.
Yeah, that too. We're speaking with Doug Maughan. He is the Cybersecurity Division Director for the Science and Technology Directorate at Homeland Security. And so at some of these town meetings, that's my word, but the national conversation sessions, what types of people have you gotten? I mean, I guess my specific question is, how do you make sure that the conversation is really at the academic level you're seeking and not someone coming in trying to tout a particular technology they're trying to sell?
Yeah, so we have a broad group of people at every conversation. We try to get industry people who, even if they are producing product, the goal here is to look out the next 3 to 5 years, and they're trying to sell their product today. So in the end, they sometimes disqualify themselves because it doesn't help them. But we've gotten big industry, we've gotten small businesses and entrepreneurs, really trying to get a good cross-section everywhere we've gone. And we've been successful in doing it and keeping it small, 40 to 50 people. You can actually have some really good conversations. And I will tell you that it's all out and available on the web at scitech.ideascale.com. And people can continue to join the conversation even though they're not attending our in-person sessions.
And have there been any ideas that made you say, your eyebrows go up and say, gosh, that's a good idea. I hadn't thought of that one.
Well, I think we found some real interesting ones in the area of some of the software engineering. There's been a good discussion online about languages or language theoretic security. It's called LangSec, principles for maybe we need to look at some of the languages we're using to develop these tools and start at the core there for improving the quality of the software.
Yes, because there has been an explosion in the number of languages that are used and partly driven by the demand for mobile apps. But it used to be it's a wide open thing and people can teach themselves even how to develop apps and so forth. So maybe more discipline as there was 40 years ago in software programming. Maybe that's part of the answer, do you think?
I think so. And again, that's also comes back to a little bit of the education and training piece that anybody can build an app now, but they've never learned or understood the software development process or how to make sure they have security in their software. And so there's some education and training that has to happen as well.
And it seems like two-factor authentication is starting to take hold and more people are using it. I guess the cyber sprint, the 30-day sprint initiated by the White House for the government, has caused more people to have two-factor authentication. But the one that never seems to really catch on because it's complicated and hard to use is public key encryption. And are you getting ideas for how to make that something that could be more usable by more people?
We've certainly had the conversation about identity management. I think identity management is at the core of some of our problems on the Internet. As you mentioned, there have been a bigger push on the government side. I think we still have a long ways to go with respect to just the general citizen and their understanding and use of that type of technology. Again, there's an education piece there as well in trying to teach people how security can help them and make it a market differentiator as opposed to anything else.
And with respect to the future of cybersecurity, do you anticipate or hope or believe that there might be some kind of magic bullet breakthrough? Or is this going to be a slow building and strengthening of the fences using the techniques we already know?
I think it's not going to be a silver bullet anywhere along the way. I think it's also, even though we've done a sprint, that you can only do so many sprints, it really is here for the long haul, and we have to continue to work across a number of different angles to try to improve our entire cybersecurity posture.
And with respect to the systems that are deployed for the public, do you think the government is about on par with how, say, banks, financial institutions, shopping institutions are on security, or maybe the government's a little bit ahead or a little bit behind?
I think it depends. In a lot of different cases, so the government's probably leading, and in other cases, for example, the finance sector, where there's money to be had and the criminals are going after them, they're probably a little bit further ahead in some of those securing aspects of their systems.
All right, Doug Maughan is the Cybersecurity Division Director for Science and Technology Directorate. By the way, are there more in-person live conversations planned?
Yes, there are. We have one on the 20th next week in Seattle, and on the 21st in Denver. We'll have also three more in September, one in Boston, one in Minneapolis, and one in San Antonio.
All right. Well, we'll try to get one and maybe listen in personally. Again, Doug Maughan is the Cybersecurity Division Director for Science and Technology at Homeland Security. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you very much for the opportunity.